Other contracted services. With all services that may be contracted out in LTC facilities, a few basic principles apply. The IP must be communicative with the service provider. Requirements, expectations, and standards for service should be written and agreed upon between the facility and the service provider. The IP must ensure that the service provider follows facility rules and written best practices for infection prevention, as they apply to the service being rendered while in the LTC facility. This should include active monitoring of individuals while on site. The IP should visit the service provider's off-site facility to ensure that standards are followed off-site. Example, visiting a contracted dental service to ensure that reprocessing procedures for equipment are adequate. Note that nursing services may also be contracted out by an LTC facility. However, the infection prevention procedures needed and the risks associated with contracting those services tend to be much more in line with the typical considerations that have been discussed elsewhere. Cleaning services. While some cleaning duties are necessarily the responsibility of the LTC staff, other portions of the routine cleaning duties within the facilities may be contracted out to external service providers. However, even when these services are contracted out, the IP is still responsible for verifying that procedures and safety measures are followed, chemicals are used according to their IFU, and cleaning schedules are adhered to. Rehabilitation and physical therapy services. The IP and the therapy departments must collaborate to prevent infections. Rehabilitation services staff are vital members of the interdisciplinary team. Depending on the provider, these services may include physical medicine, respiratory, speech, and audiology services, care for amputees and prosthetic services, or sensory aids. Therapeutic recreational services may also be included. In LTC facilities, the therapies most often provided on site are physical, respiratory, speech, and occupational. For residents in rehabilitation programs, infection prevention presents special challenges due to the number of risk factors associated with these residents. Some studies have reported a higher incidence of HAIs in chronic and rehabilitative settings compared with acute care settings, even after case mix adjustments are made. It is important to ensure that the residents participating in therapy rooms and gyms do not have active signs or symptoms of infection, and that they are given the opportunity to perform HH before and after their therapy sessions. All equipment used in rehabilitative services must be routinely cleaned and disinfected between uses, according to manufacturer's IFU. Therapists need access to cleaners and disinfectants at the point of care. When residents have their own mobility equipment, a regular cleaning and disinfection schedule should be in place, as these items can quickly become contaminated from residents' movement both within and outside the facility. More rigorous cleaning procedures may be required during outbreaks. Two types of common physical therapy rehabilitative equipment in LTC facilities are physical or occupational treatment tables, which may also be called mats or platform tables, are routinely used in physical and occupational therapy programs. These tables must be cleaned and disinfected between residents with manufacturer-approved chemicals that will not damage their surfaces. If a sheet is placed between the resident and the table surface during the therapy session, it should be changed after each use. Table surfaces should be monitored for cracks and tears that might potentially harbor pathogens. Gait belts are used to provide stability and security when ambulating residents. They are also used to assist residents in moving to and from chairs, wheelchairs, and beds. Gait belts, including those made with antimicrobial-coated materials, should be cleaned after each use. If feasible, the facility may consider having dedicated gait belts for each resident. Although LTC facilities strive to maximize resident independence and social interaction, health issues may occasionally restrict an individual to their room or limit their participation in group activities. In these instances, rehabilitative services may be provided in the resident's room. Note that some services, such as respiratory rehabilitation, may be more typically conducted in the resident room. All isolation precautions should be followed. Any equipment taken into the room must be thoroughly cleaned and disinfected upon removal. If possible, equipment should remain within the room until the isolation is discontinued. Any fabric items should be contained and laundered per facility policy, and disposable items should be discarded prior to exiting the room. Radiographic services. Within LTC facilities, mobile radiography, X-ray examinations performed on site may be used in an effort to increase access to examinations and to reduce the number of transfers between nursing homes and hospitals, which can reduce exposure to pathogens from outside the facility. Radiographic equipment includes small portable X-ray machines. Examinations are usually performed with the assistance of nursing home staff within residence rooms. As is the case with other equipment, high-touch surfaces and equipment should be cleaned between residents, and other SP and TBP should be followed. Laboratory technicians. Generally, LTC facilities within the United States do not have on-site laboratories. If the LTC facility is part of a large health system, a hospital's laboratory may be used. All other LTC facilities will contract with a private laboratory for diagnostic services. The IP must be knowledgeable about the lab services available to the LTC facility, and they should maintain effective communication with designated laboratory staff. The IP's laboratory checklist should include types of testing performed and the normal ranges for each test. Types of testing not performed. Expected turnaround times. Methods of reporting results. Procedures for specimen collection. Procedures for specimen holding and transport to the laboratory. The laboratory must also have an established role in any facility-based antibiotic stewardship program, ASP, as described elsewhere. Laboratories can produce useful information and tools, such as antibiogram reports. But even when antibiogram reporting is unavailable, the IP should collaborate with the laboratory staff to ensure that drug-resistant organisms are rapidly identified and reported both to the nursing staff and to the IP. The LTC facility should establish a real-time process for the IP to have access to culture results. When testing cannot be completed at the point of care, the IP must monitor that specimen collection, handling, and transport are consistent with laboratory requirements. A high-quality specimen is required to produce high-quality diagnostic results. To be effective, both laboratory and IPC staff must communicate regularly with each other. IPs should regularly make rounds in the laboratory to ask questions, review microbiology and molecular epidemiological results, and discuss current issues. Pharmacy services. The IP should collaborate with the pharmacy provider to ensure that medications are dispensed and delivered to the facility in a manner that prevents possible contamination. Periodic observation of medication administration will provide real-time, useful data regarding the safe handling and administration of commonly prescribed drugs. Package integrity must be checked and expiration dates, as indicated on labels, reviewed regularly. The contracted pharmacy must be an active participant in the interdisciplinary antimicrobial stewardship team. The pharmacy should be able to provide antimicrobial prescribing expertise, which is a requirement in LTC. Due to the high risk of infection that improper medication handling poses, IPs and LTC facilities should monitor the use of all medication vials on a routine basis. The IP should advise the pharmacy director with subject matter expertise, such as on appropriate cleaning and disinfection practices, HH, environmental sampling, adult education on aseptic technique, and other IPC-related topics, including proper donning and doffing of PPE. The IP should also participate in regularly scheduled environment of care rounds. The IP may also assist with gap analyses and risk assessments of the various pharmacy practices that ultimately affect resident safety. The IP should be immediately consulted when a suspected or confirmed contamination event has been identified. Coordination with health department authorities, along with the State Board of Pharmacy, is essential. And to maximize resident safety, it should involve collaboration with the IP and pharmacist, as well as active engagement of the healthcare facility administration. Central lines. The IP should use evidence-based guidelines and recommendations from the CDC and the Infusion Nurses Society to develop policies and procedures that minimize the risk of catheter-related infections and other complications from infusion therapy. These recommendations exist whether a service is contracted out or handled by the facility. The IP should randomly audit infusion therapy care practices, including contracted peripherally inserted central catheter, PICC, line teams to ensure they are consistent with policy and to provide immediate feedback when improvement opportunities are identified. Process surveillance examples include monitoring insertion site care, dressing changes, appropriate use of PPE, and adherence to HH. The facility's surveillance plan should also include monitoring residents with vascular access catheters. Note that catheter placement is often done by contracted agencies, but nurses in the facility will be responsible for dressing changes, infusing, and care and maintenance of the catheter, as well as other associated equipment following insertion. As such, CDC recommendations state that all individuals involved with catheter-associated care procedures be educated and regularly assessed and monitored on safe practices. Dialysis. Note that, for contracted services, it is typically the responsibility of the service providers to provide any required training. However, the IP should ensure that service providers are actually fulfilling their training-related obligations. This means that the IP should observe practices and policies surrounding dialysis. For example, the IP should ensure hemodialysis staff are using rigorous aseptic techniques to clean and disinfect the skin before access. Additionally, the contracted dialysis service should report water testing results, dialysis issues, and any identified infections to the LTC facility's IPC committee. No matter which form of dialysis is taking place in the LTC facility, all personnel should know their roles in the prevention of HAIs and other adverse outcomes. Personnel providing direct resident care should know the symptoms of infection and adverse reactions. They should also know the facility's procedures for following up on dialysis-associated infections and other suspected adverse reactions that may occur during dialysis. All personnel should receive training in accordance with OSHA's bloodborne pathogens and personal protective equipment standards. State and local regulations should be consulted for additional training requirements. Education should be ongoing, so that personnel stays up to date on current practice standards and medical trends to maintain and improve their competency. Unique considerations for hospice care. Recall that hospice care refers to the cessation of direct treatments aimed at curing an illness that is considered terminal, but it does not mean the ending of all treatments for the resident. Treatments and interventions to reduce pain and increase comfort may still take place. As such, residents may still use a wide variety of medical devices that pose infection concerns, such as catheters and other vascular access devices. With that in mind, it is crucial to respect and incorporate the resident's individual spiritual, religious, cultural, and personal preferences into their care plan. The resident's wishes must be carefully balanced with IPC practices. For example, pet visitation policies may be adapted so the resident may visit with and say goodbye to what may be the resident's closest friend. However, this balance must be driven by the principle that the policies enacted do not cause harm or potential harm to other residents, caregivers, visitors, or HCP. Key point: in order to strike this balance, the resident and their family and caregivers should be educated on infection prevention, including risks and benefits, so that they may make decisions that best allow for the resident to maintain their quality of life while still meeting their expectations and goals. Communication during this time is key. The risks and benefits must be communicated to the resident as well as their family and caregivers, and the resident's wishes, goals, and desires must be communicated to their care team. Basic IPC principles and practices can then be adapted to assist the resident in achieving the goals and desires while minimizing the risk for infection or exposure to the greatest extent possible. Some examples of the ways that these adaptations may take place include: selection and use of PPE for SP may be done with consideration only for protecting HCP, not the resident, if that's what the resident wants, based on their understanding of risk. Alternative methods of care may be used for medical devices that better meet resident desires, while providing optimal mitigation of infection or other adverse events. Wound and treatment infections, especially for EMD or OS, may focus on providing comfort, drainage, and odor control, but not necessarily wound healing. Food preparation may be subject to increased attention along cultural and religious lines for residents receiving end-of-life care. HAI diagnostic testing on the resident may be avoided, especially if the test may cause pain or discomfort. This may require increased monitoring with regard to occupational health, bloodborne, and communicable disease exposures for HCP if definitive diagnostic testing of the resident isn't performed. Postmortem care. The cleaning and handling of the body postmortem may also be affected by the resident's and family's religious and cultural beliefs. It is best to discuss the resident's wishes prior to their death. This will help avoid any conflict or controversy and will also ensure that rituals and practices are performed in a safe manner. Family members or caregivers may request to assist in preparing the body once the resident has expired. Some cultures and religions have specific practices that may put family members at an unnecessary risk unless appropriate PPE is used. Key point: in the event that a resident has Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD, it is important to communicate with the family so that their emotional needs, as well as the safety concerns of the funeral director and embalmers, can be accurately addressed.